Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Really quick, I want to mention this up top because it's a bit of a weird situation. Our SoundCloud password has gone missing. This will, as you might guess, make posting new content and staying on hashtag the grind starkly more difficult for us. So if any amateur sleuths out there felt like giving us a hand, that would be very helpful. Sorry, what's that? Oh, y'all just revoked my SoundCloud privileges. Okay. Because I'm a liability when it comes to writing episode descriptions. Okay. Yep. That makes sense. Disregard that, dear listeners. Maybe we can edit that out. Mystery solved, as it were. Now, I guess, okay. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
Yeah, sorry about that, Cody. We just had to do it. Thank you for not doing the thing that I do, which is every single time I need to log into something, I just go ahead and make a new password because I can never remember my old passwords. Just every single time I need to log into, like, say, Netflix or Twitter or what have you. I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter, if I can remember my password, at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Also with us today is Mr. Perfect himself, super producer Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. Zippity-bappity-doo-doo, that's kids with a Z. Today we're talking about episode 30 of Hey Arnold, which also can be thought of as season 2, episode 4, if that's easier, going by production code order. We'll start with episode 30A, and that is called Ransom. Original air date for this episode was October 8th, 1997, and the Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Gerald and Arnold get on the case when Timberley's doll goes missing. Another succinct description of this episode, thanks Wikipedia. And as we always do, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. We've got Steve Saki directing this episode, and the lone writing credit goes to Jonathan Greenberg. So shout outs all around to the fellas. Harry, I will toss the mic gently to you first. What did you think about Ransom?
Oh, I got it. Thank you, Cody. This is an episode. It's a weird episode, right? It's an episode I'm kind of conflicted about. I really, really like the conceit of this episode. I think that creating a sort of mystery caper in the Hey Arnold universe and then using these classic characters, Chocolate Boy and Harold and Curly as the suspects for Gerald and Arnold and Timberley to track down is so fun. It's such a great idea. Unfortunately, and I think both of these episodes fall victim to this a little bit, not to foreshadow too much, but I think this episode just it trends a little bit nastier than I would like. There's a weird joke right at the beginning where they imply that Wally is only created in the first place. That's Timberley's doll to sell toys, right? Like the joke that this episode starts on is that the Barney-esque character is openly singing about selling merchandise in the show, which is, it's funny, right? And it's anti-capitalist in the way that Hey Arnold often is, but something about it hit the wrong notes for me. Just the idea that, like, we're going to start this off by like openly joking about exploiting this little girl was kind of weird. And that energy sort of flows through the rest of this episode where, well, I really like the idea of making Arnold and Gerald these sort of classic noir detectives. The problem with it is that in those framings, as those movies actually often point out, detectives are terrible people who are the brooms of a terrible system, right? So, like, this ends up having sort of an inadvertent kind of, like, Kiss Me Deadly vibe where, like, Arnold and Gerald just go through town ruining their friends' days, right? Like, they do this very... It's funny, but it's an uncomfortable sort of like plying Chocolate Boy with chocolates the way you would ply an addict to get information out of him. They're fat phobic toward Harold, and then they straight up interrogate Curly and make him share information about himself that he would not like to. And like, again, it's completely within the genre trappings that they're playing with, but it is a weird fit for these characters we're supposed to like a lot, because I do not like those detectives. And the point of many of those movies is that you're not supposed to like those detectives, right? So that was interesting. I also simply personally cannot abide the way that Gerald treats Timberly. I know that a big brother, little sister thing is supposed to be the whole conceit that they're tough to get along with. I just don't like it. People should just treat their little sisters better. Come on, guys. Everybody's just, you know. But that being said, I think Timberly's a great character. And I really love that she immediately thinks up this elaborate sort of detective fiction in order to demonstrate to her brother that she is actually every bit his intellectual equal. And I think that that element of the plot kind of saves a lot of the weird trappings. So ultimately, I had a lot of fun watching this episode. I just think that it doesn't quite hit the notes with the same sort of confidence or accuracy that a lot of the other episodes of Hey Arnold do. I think it stretches itself in some admirable ways, and it kind of falls short in some ways.
I think that's fair. I think, honestly, that hits a lot of what I took from this episode as well. But before pivoting to Emily, I do want to call out maybe a slight bias on Harry's part, just because he has a very cool sister, younger sister, and that probably paints his experience a little bit differently in the realm of, you know, younger sisters havers. Mostly just kidding. But I agree. A lot of sibling energy to take away from this episode that we can definitely dig into. But I will toss it now to Emily. Emily, what did you think of this episode?
Yeah, no, I agree with what you just said too. Shout outs to Charlie Mackin. Charlie, please come back on the pod soon. But yeah, and a lot of great Saturday energy, I think, that y'all are, all of us maybe, are bringing to this episode.
Yeah.
Harry has really good points about what doesn't quite hit super well, I think, in this episode. So I'll just say what I liked about it, because I do agree with what Harry was saying. Otherwise, I like the moments where we get a little bit more out of these characters, especially Timberly, who we have not come to know very well. We get more of her personality and what motivates her, the fact that she loves Gerald so much and just wants to be able to hang out with him. And we also get to see Chocolate Boy for the first time as far as our production code order goes. So that's great. And we get a little bit more out of Harold. He confesses that he does have a sensitive side, and I don't think he's said something quite to that effect before. So seeing him with his own stuffed animal, Wally, at the diner is nice, as is Curly in the room where they're interrogating him. The fact that he takes ballet lessons, and he calls him a couple of saps. And I just feel like we get some good character moments throughout this one, despite the otherwise pitfalls of the episode. But yeah, I like too that although Timberly is not, you know, setting up this way of hanging out with Gerald more in the most honest way. She has to do some scheming to get to hang out with him and lies and stuff. It is ultimately nice to see that she just wants to hang out with Gerald. So this is her way as a really little kid of trying to navigate that. So, but yeah, big brothers and little sisters, be nice to each other.
That's honestly, a good mantra to live by. I think, like I alluded to, a lot of my takeaways are similar to what you two are kind of getting at. This could have easily, Ransom could have easily fallen into the sort of genre episodes that we've talked about in the past, perhaps most recently with The Big Scoop, where the show did more of a journalism, drama, thriller, sort of kind of like All the President's Men, in that sort of vein. And this was, you know, it's a genre episode in not necessarily noir, but just kind of like detective thriller. And like it's been said, it works less well just because detective stories in general are usually by and large more hateful in nature. And this is not a hateful show. Like The Big Scoop didn't necessarily hit these types of snags that Harry pointed out specifically, just because I think the big scoop, just by nature of it, maybe fitting to the confines or the structure of the show a little bit better. They were able to sort of commit to like the tropes a little bit more, whereas this wasn't always necessarily a detective story. It's sort of bookended by what could be conceived as more of like a conventional Hey Arnold story with just, you know, like we're telling a tale about siblings. And so it was kind of maybe trying to juggle a little too much, but the big scoop also, I mean, works a little bit better for the show, for a show that is more optimism inclined, you know, which, you know, we talk about it pretty much every episode. So yeah, I don't, if this were instead just a story about, you know, siblings, sibling interactions and the younger siblings just wanting to know that their older siblings care for them without the sort of trappings of needing to hit certain genre points, maybe that would have been better, not to just, you know, fall into like armchair director. One thing I did think of, since, I mean, Jamie O is Gerald's older sibling. I guess, I don't know if this is like a retooling, but for the, I guess like the purposes of convenience and telling the story they want to, it is sort of like, okay, Jamie O can't really be in the show. He might not even be living in Gerald's family's household at this point anyway. But I thought that like that could have made for an interesting sort of thing of just, well, like, you know, Timberlee's looking up to Gerald, and but like, what about Gerald as like a younger sibling, and with regards to Jamie O? This was maybe trying to tell two different stories, which is why or maybe why we didn't really get into that. And that's totally okay. I like, this is watchable in the ways that the vast majority of Hey Arnold episodes are. And you know, I'm a sucker for episodes of television or movies that play with sibling dynamics, as somebody with a younger brother. So that's, I don't know, in that way, I always kind of trend toward that work anyway. So yeah, I don't know, a lot to take away from it, both good and bad. But I don't know, we're here talking about it, Harry. I don't know, any of that land for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say that it's better. The maybe one of the central frustrations about this episode is that, in fact, it's better than a watchable episode, right? I think that like even Hey Arnold episodes that miss the mark are so elevated by just how great their trappings are and just how great their world and character building is that like I think this is a great, I mean, it's a super fun to watch episode, right? And they even sort of redeem themselves in the terms of trapping, because the way that they characterize it as Timberlee actively putting them into this genre mode and actively sort of creating from whole cloth this new world for them to inhabit, which is something that she was excluded from in the first place, right? When they were playing their game and wouldn't let her join, in order to demonstrate to them that she is able to utilize her imagination just the same and sort of like be equals with them on that footing. It's a really great message, right? And especially the way that it, again, speaks so poignantly to the actual thoughts and sort of struggles of kids, where like so many siblings had this experience. And so it's really great to like remind kids that like, well, you won't always get along with your sibling the way that they still don't totally at the end, in classic Hey Arnold fashion, including them and making them feel like they are included and part of the group is always the right move, because they really are your equal, right? And they really are capable of doing that, and you should treat them that way. And that's it's a really good message. And Timberlee and Gerald pull it off really well because they're great characters. And like Emily, you had alluded to, it's funny that even when you don't think that the genre trappings that they're going to play with are really the right fit for the show, the way I don't hear, because like seeing Gerald and Arnold basically become the cops kind of sucks, right? Because cops suck. But even within that sort of flawed framework, we get to spend so much time with these characters we like, right? Like, and Chocolate Boy is so funny, and the Harold Diner scene works so well. It plays so well despite the fat phobia. And then like the final sort of confrontation with Curly, and Curly is like the perfect like guy for that because he's so sinister. And that makes the subversion of his ballet lessons work so well. It like, even when the show doesn't work, it really works, right? It's funny the way that happens. But I, you know, it's a show that really pulls it off, even when what it's trying to pull off is maybe something you shouldn't try to pull off, right? So, yeah, it's a really good message. Timberlee is a great character. It's a really fun episode to watch, even if the sort of central conceit is something that I'm not super aligned with, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. And you know, it's not necessarily, you know, we're not necessarily learning a ton about these characters. Obviously, the introduction to Chocolate Boy is awesome. He's a bit of a scene stealer, and he fits the mold of, I guess, that sort of detective story trope super well, you know, addicted to chocolate, that sort of thing. But even with like established characters, even for all the, you know, weird portrayal, or like the weird sort of components that come with Harold's portrayal, the sort of like subverting that a little bit, even though it's like, it's not going to by any means speak to like Harold outside of this episode, but just like, yeah, whatever. I got a sensitive side. Like that is my Wally stuffed toy. Yeah. Like I know I'm curly. I'm a fucking maniac, but like, yeah, I still do ballet. Like, so what? I can do that. Let me show you my stuff. I'm really good at it. So like even, yeah, I don't know. Like it's, I didn't mean to like sound like I was coming off like too harsh or anything like that. You know, amidst all this, like the sort of umbrella itself is maybe a little faulty, but everything underneath it, still like there are a lot of good moments. A lot of like, it's nice to see like some of these characters shine. We don't get a lot of good Curly moments. You know, he actually, Curly, come to think of it, is very instrumental for these sort of genre episodes. That courtroom episode, like he was a very pivotal character in it. So it's nice to have people like him as a sort of like, you know, ace in the hole, you know, or Joker card, whatever the phrase is. It's nice to have him in their back pocket to sort of bust out for those types of situations. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm pretty well tapped on this episode. Are there any sort of lingering thoughts or shout outs that either of you wanted to put forth?
Yeah, I just have final shout outs at this point. I really like that Gerald and the fellows are playing Clue, or a game like very similar to Clue at the beginning. That is nice to see. I loved Clue as a kid, so great to see it. And then the fact that Gerald and Timberly both say more or less the same thing of like, little sisters are a real pain and big brothers are a real pain, but they ultimately love each other, and that's really nice sibling dynamic, and it's funny. And shout out to Timberly's fairy costume at the end. That was very memorable for me. Like, I didn't really remember this episode up until I saw her wearing that costume. So, yeah, that about does it for me on the shout outs.
I was also going to mention the fairy costume. It's very good. And her whole performance in it is very good, where she tries to turn them into frogs. It's super funny and fun to hear Gerald and Arnold using like the detective lines. I really love that. I guess like my last shout out is just that, like, I think that the central dynamic that they established between Timberly and Gerald really, really works for this episode, right? Like, I just think that, like, when you think about the plot beats, the way that they were able to establish the way that the sibling relationship works in shorthand, in like only 13 minutes is really impressive. So it's like, even, you know, just, I don't know why I'm trying so hard to rehabilitate this episode, but like, it just goes to show you that even when it doesn't quite square the circle, like, there is more going on in Hey Arnold than in most episodes, right? And then I guess shout outs also to Jim Lang, who is clearly having a blast making the score to this episode, because it really leans hard on the whole like detective interrogation investigation stuff, and that's great.
Great indeed. Always gotta shout out the GOAT. Perfect. Well, I think that about wraps up our discussion of episode 30A of Hey Arnold. Don't touch that dial, because we've got another half of this episode to talk about after the break. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Episode 30B is what we're talking about now, and I'm looking forward to it ever so much. This episode is, of course, called Ms. Perfect. Original air date, October 8th, 1997. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows, and it is considerably much longer than the summary we had for the first half, so listen up. Lila, the new girl, is disliked at school by Helga and the other girls for seeming to be absolutely perfect and a big hit with all the boys. The girls soon play a prank on Lila, causing, they say, paint to spill all over her. I don't think it's paint. I think it's just, liquidy trash. to spill all over her in front of the school. They soon accept her after they see how upset she is and learn that her dad has been unemployed for some time, leading to the two having little to no food in the house. So a weirdly specific and only slightly inaccurate plot synopsis, but hey, we'll kind of fill in the blanks along the way. And once again, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. We've got Steve Saki directing and Steve Vixton writing. So a couple of solid Steves in the fold today. Emily, I will kick it to you first this time. What did you think about Ms. Perfect?
Yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts about this one. Really nice to see Lila's introduction to the show. And I can relate to her a bit just because I was a new kid so often when I was younger. I was a new kid like four different times or something from moving all over the place and stuff. But yeah, it's rough to see the kids or the girls, specifically Helga leading the girl troupe, being so threatened and jealous by Lila's presence. It makes sense. It's they play it into, or the episode is written in a way that makes sense why they feel this way towards her. But they really end up being quite cruel to the new girl, and that sucks a lot. So good to see their change of heart at the end when they're watching her through the window and hear her and her dad talking about the fact that he didn't get the job and that Lila really just wanted the kids to like her. And she's having a hard time, you know, adjusting to her new school and the classmates and stuff. So good to see them come around at the end and own up to it. That they didn't, you know, Rhonda's like, you know, we didn't mean to hurt you, but Phoebe's like, well, no, we actually did. But like now we see the error of our ways basically. And, they even say something to the effect of like, yeah, this is probably rooted in our deep insecurities with ourselves. So that's spelled out in a clear way. But yeah, again, just, I don't know. Yeah. A really, really good episode. I think, it makes sense just why the girls are threatened and treat her in these cruel ways, but good to see them learn from it and have empathy towards her and try to come around at the end and own up to their mistakes.
Yeah, it's nice that they kind of went the extra mile. I thought the same thing when Phoebe was like, well, actually, we did mean to hurt you, but hey, we felt really bad about it. And I think it was Rhonda who was talking about their collective insecurities. And I like it's spelled out a little on the nose, but I for one, am glad that they went that route because it certainly doesn't hurt to spell it out in that case. Harry, over to you now. What did you think about this episode?
Yeah, thanks. I think Emily characterized it really well. I think that this is it's a good example of an episode that goes really far and earns it, right? Like, I think that you're right. It is stark and surprising and a little bit frightening even to see the lengths that the girls go to ostracize and humiliate Lila. And I think that that's even made more sort of striking by the fact that we spend so much time sympathizing with the bullies who do this, right? Like Helga is the main character of this episode total. Arnold is an extra in this episode, which is really unusual and really cool. I think that it makes a lot of sense that they spend so much time sympathizing with the bullies and demonstrating how these insecurities were fomented, because I think it's a really important thing to do to sort of like demonstrate to the viewers that like there are a reason why bullies bully, right? Like you said, it's super spelled out by the end. Rhonda says it's probably born of deep-seated insecurities in ourselves. And like you guys, I really love that line that Phoebe has where she says like, oh, we actually did mean to hurt this person. All of that makes sense. So I think that like, well, this episode can be kind of tough to watch. It is funny and it makes a lot of sense. Like it really runs through those emotions in a really like close way. I don't love some aspects of it, I suppose. I really don't like the shorthand that they use with Lila's poorness, especially with her dad in that really maudlin shorthand scene where he doesn't get the job and then he does get the job and it makes all the girls cry. I know what they're doing with it, right? Like it makes sense, but there's something almost sort of dismissive and almost sort of like resentful about how quickly they gloss over it and how cliched it is. Like it's almost played for laughs, but they don't go far enough in making it be played for laughs. Like maybe if they had done the big dramatic like violin sting that they often did when like Helga's sister Olga is talking, that would have made me swallow it easier. But there's something about like how dismissive they are of that whole scene and setup that kind of makes me mad a little bit. I really like in particular how Helga tries to be a mentor to Lila, but she's being this sort of cynical mentor and it doesn't work because Lila is not like broken down in that way. So I really love that like the resentment on Helga's part comes out of this sort of rejection of Helga's wisdom as it's perceived, right? Because I think that that rejection is at the actual heart of the jealousy. And so this is an episode that really does a great job of unpacking that jealousy, and especially a girl-focused episode, and the way that they talk about how girls can be cruel to one another is a really good and unusual sort of like focus point, right? And especially for a show that has a male main character, it's really good to like to focus on and hone in on that aspect of growing up in elementary school, right? It makes for an episode that is really interesting and really multifaceted. And maybe the best part about this episode and the best part about Hey Arnold in general is that like Lila's not a one-off character, right? Like I think that this would be a cheap move and sort of a cheap episode if Lila never returned, but she is from here on out a relatively major character. And I think that that almost sort of retroactively redeems a lot of the issues I have with this episode, is the fact that they returned her and don't just let this lie, which is really cool.
Yeah, that was actually that last thing you said, Harry, that was something I was thinking about as I was watching. Like it looks and feels a lot like a one-off sort of character episode. Like if you came into the show and didn't know that Lila would be a recurring character later on. It did kind of feel like that. But we do see a lot more of her, and we see a lot of how we see a lot of her and also how she affects a lot of these other main characters, Arnold in particular. So that's, I don't know, looking forward to that. And I guess it was I like that you brought up that scene with those couple of scenes with Lila and her father. Those felt weird to me. A lot of what I did was just kind of chalk it up to both like the fact that, I don't know, they don't have a lot of time to really go into the complexities of it. It did feel weird to me, but especially from a kid's perspective, just like treating it as like, well, they like, he either does have a job or doesn't have a job. This is like, it's a little too convenient, but I sort of understand what they were going for. I do concede that it was, I don't know, it didn't quite land, but regardless, like this episode, I'm glad that it recognizes that, it goes, like we've said, it goes a little too far, but it is good to see kids being extreme jerks, because they can be extreme jerks, just because it, or, and just in the same way, it is good to see those same people, and children in particular, in this case, learn how and why those, jerky things are wrong to do. We're being explicit about a lot of our learning this episode, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. The show doesn't always spell it out in this way, but again, that's not a bad thing. Also, I guess good to see, and we've talked about it, but just reiterating, seeing our protagonists in the wrong, seeing especially somebody like Phoebe, who we expected more of you, Phoebe. Seeing her as at the end as being the one to call her, she's like, actually, yeah, like we admit that we did mean to hurt you. It's good to hear and see her do that. Seeing our main characters in the wrong, and sort of the dramatic irony of like, oh boy, Helga's taking somebody under their wing. They are not going to get good advice. That's a nice, fun dynamic to play with before we see them go like the full carry route, you know, where we're just completely, you know, dousing this person with junk. But I don't know, a wild episode, more wild than I remember Lila's introduction being, but a lot of good things too. So yeah, really glad we watched it. Hot take.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Phoebe is a really good character to latch onto here, because I think that at the heart of this episode is a really nuanced and great sort of understated point, which is that like good people can do bad things without being bad people, right? Like, I think that that is a surprisingly nuanced and difficult thing to communicate in a short period of time, but the episode pulls it off by leaning on the established sort of characterization that they've already created, right? Like, we know we love Helga, we love Phoebe, we love all of these characters. And so seeing them act this way is harsh, right? It makes it harder to watch than usual, even. But it's also even more understandable and even more sympathetic. Like, well, we love Phoebe and we love Helga. We can totally understand why they would feel threatened by Lila, right? We know their insecurities because we've seen them flare up before, because we know these characters. And I think it's a really important thing to show how, like, it's even an episode that is speaking to bullies, right? It's saying that, like, it holds out hope for redemption and for sympathy for bullies, and understands why they did what they did without justifying it, right? Without making it an okay thing to do, right? Like, they are the characters in this show that are the protagonists are clearly in the wrong, but they're clearly in the wrong without being bad people. And I think that having that grace while condemning the action itself it sounds easy because the show makes it look easy, but it's a difficult thing to do, right? I mean, you think about, like, children's shows often just vilify a bully straight up, right? Like, they will dismiss a bully as irredeemable, or it's just not within the scope of the show to redeem a bully. And Arnold never takes that way out, with the exception of the sewer king, right? But it always holds out hope and redemption and nuance for even the bullies. And I think that this is sort of a natural extrapolation of that ethic of storytelling, is that in here we actually see the point of view of the bullies entirely, right? And what's so funny about it is that they even introduce Big Patty in this episode, and Big Patty has the same arc, right? Where in this early episode, she's just sort of seen as this almost like righteous bully who picks on the other bullies, but we're going to see her be characterized later in the episode. And Lila is later going to become established as far from Miss Perfect herself, right? Like, she has fallibility like everybody else, and we'll get to see that established later on. And so it's really interesting to see these characters' perspectives on her. And all of this plays out even without sort of bringing the boys into the mix as anything other than another object of jealousy for the girls. And so, like, it's really an episode that's doing a lot with what it's doing, right? And I think that makes it really impressive to me. And it makes the, oddly enough, the sort of like last bit where they just use that sort of like lazy shorthand about poorness and about the job, makes it sting a little bit more for me. But hey, it's a 13-minute episode, right? Like, what are you gonna do? So I guess I can forgive some of that, given how well it pulls off everything else.
And the flip side of how well the writers write about bullying and or bullies in this one is how well they're also writing the struggle of a new kid. And in Lila's place, like, she just wants, you know, to fit in. She wants people to like her. She wants the respect of her teacher, all of those things, which are really difficult when, especially as a kid, when no one knows you. So I think they did an excellent job of writing that struggle in here too, and making the viewer sympathize with her in that way, at least especially with me, as I just relate to that new kid in school type of thing. But yeah, Lila is a really good character too. And yeah, an awesome episode all around, I think, with how it handles both sides of the spectrum here.
For sure. And I guess, like, thinking back to my schooling days, there was never an opportunity where I was like a brand spanking new kid to, I guess, like, transitioning from elementary school to middle school. I, like, was on on a different side of town, and then I came back I basically transported to, like, different corners of the city, and, like, there was a new student population to work with, but I had ins, like, there were a handful of people I knew, and I just kind of, like, grew socially from there and sort of maneuvered my way. So I had, like, rudders at my disposal. Lila obviously doesn't have that in this case, and the interaction that stood out to me, I guess, is, again, somebody who doesn't really know what that is like, just the thresholds and the hoops you have to jump through to make friends, and, like, hearing Helga go on for what feels like forever, just about, like, hey, these are the breaks. This is how it works around this school. Maybe you can, you know, bust in after a couple of years or something. And then someone walks up to their group and asks Lila to play, was it like Foursquare or something like that? And Lila's like, yeah, sure. She's like, wow. Really easy in to make friends with people. And Lila's also, yeah, like, the type of person to give everybody the time of day, at least, you know, in this episode, when we're seeing her as the sort of bright shining beacon of ultimate good and properness. So, like, yeah, I don't, like, having that interaction sort of undercut everything that Helga's about, and, you know, her trying to come across as, like, top dog. And I don't know, that was kind of funny in its own way too. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Harry.
Oh, I mean, it's just Helga and the girls in general are such a great vessel for that too, right? Because they are a little bit more mature and a little bit more self-aware and self-conscious than our boys usually are, right? So we get like this genre episode with the boys where they're playing make-believe. And then juxtaposed to that, we get this very real episode, right? About girls who are worried about their social standing and worried about things that they don't possess, right? And worried that maybe they aren't as special or as good as other people, right? Like, jealousy is such a relatable and mature emotion in so many ways, right? Especially as you're developing as a kid, and sort of jealousy, it implies a self-consciousness that is endemic to women at a younger age than guys, which is why it's such a perfect vessel for this episode in particular, right? And why Helga carries it off, right? Like, I think that there's a reason why this is Miss Perfect and not Mr. Perfect, and why it is involving the women at the school instead of the guys, right? And it makes a lot of sense, and it makes it feel even more true to life. And I guess that was like kind of my last point, is just like Emily had said, it's such a particularly child's point of view and a struggle that many adults would maybe forget about, right? But like fitting in at a new school and just getting to know the sort of like social landscape of a new school is a really unique problem, right? And there are all of these sort of like unwritten rules and trials and tribulations you have to go through to get used to interacting with a school. And it can feel impossible because it feels like learning a new language. And I think that that's like something that they demonstrate really well here, is the frustration behind all of that and how it can be impossible, especially when people are out to get you, right? And like, that's why Lila was so affected, is because she's thinking to herself, like, this is going to be hard in the first place. And now like, it's going to be impossible if I'm rejected by these people. So I think that they do a really good job of demonstrating how all sides feel here, like you had said, Emily, and it's a really impressive episode for that reason, I think.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think that's my cue to not say anything, but I will kick it over to either of you fine folks. Any lingering thoughts or shout outs that we didn't get to?
Yeah, I really love Big Patty's presence in this episode, although it's a weirdly real thing, again, in keeping with this episode's theme, that Helga gets physically beaten up twice in this episode. But it is really funny, first, how Big Patty like bodily tosses her into the broom closet and then follows her in there, and we see her getting like, we see the broom closet's door like shaking because she's getting beaten up inside. And then they do the visual cut to Helga's increasingly beat up face twice, which is a classic, but it's very funny both times. And then the second time when she gets beat up, when she switches Big Patty and Lila's lunches, and Big Patty's like listening to her try to explain herself, and then she cuts herself off and says, "The broom closet, right?" And then it just cuts to the broom closet, that same shot happening again, and they're playing this like fatalistic music. I thought that was really funny, and just like a really good example of like how visually and sort of like narratively creative these episodes can be.
Yeah, my shout outs would go to when Helga calls Lila Lula, which is the thing Big Bobber Dad does all the time, especially, we just talked about that in Save the Tree.
Wow, good call.
But yeah, and apart from that, I really liked the line, I think it was a random girl in the hallway who compliments Lila's dress, and she says, "It emphasizes the girl and not the dress." And I just thought that was one great funny line, throwaway for a character I don't think we otherwise see.
Yeah, yeah, a great compliment from a sixth grader. Yeah, shout outs to Lula's outfit. Well, great. With that, I guess I'd like to take a moment to say thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can keep up with us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. That's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
And just remember, Wally loves you.